Welcome to Endo Battery Fast Charged, a series dedicated to keeping you informed and empowered in the realm of endometriosis. Teaming up with board-certified patient advocates, we bring you the latest articles, research, and insights to equip you with accurate information and a deeper understanding. Whether you're expanding your knowledge, staying updated, or seeking clarity, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Alana, and this is Endo Battery Fast Charged, charging and empowering your life with knowledge. Welcome back to Endo Battery Fast Charged. I'm thrilled that you've joined me once again today. As we bid farewell to another Endometriosis Awareness Month, let's harness the momentum it brings. It's time for reflection, education, and action. Let this be a catalyst to propel us forward, armed with the knowledge to advocate not only for ourselves, but for others in the community. In a world flooded with information, it's critical to discern what's valuable and what's not. With a discerning eye on the latest research and publications, we can separate the wheat from the chaff, empowering ourselves with insights that truly matter. Remember, these articles are like your morning coffee, stimulating and sometimes addictive, but don't mistake correlation for causation. Think of them as spicy rumors at a gossip party rather than the next eureka moment. So let's sip them slowly, savor the flavor of correlation, and resist the urge to crown them as the new Samson's theory. Remember, correlation does not equal causation. It's like mistaking your pet goldfish for a shark in the bathtub. So let's ignite this episode with an exploration into this intriguing article. For many years now, there's been a lot of discussion surrounding different pain modalities when it comes to endometriosis. In this research, acupuncture for pain and pain-related disability in deep infiltrating endometriosis, a group of researchers decided to put acupuncture to the test in battling the dreaded endometriosis pain. Now, they didn't have an army of patients at their disposal, just 34 brave souls willing to give it a shot. But hey, you know what they say about small packages. Sometimes they pack a surprising punch. For 6 months straight, these warriors faced off against the notorious trio of dysmenorrhea, dyspnea, and pelvic pain, armed only with the power of tiny needles. And guess what? They actually started winning, like big time. Turns out, nearly 60% of them experienced a whopping 50% reduction in their monthly dysmenorrhea battles. That's like cutting your enemy's army in half. Talk about a game changer. And remember dyspnea? Yeah, that took a hit too, right into the second month. By months 3 to 5, the troops of moderate to severe disability dwindled from 73.3 to a measly 36.9%. Victory was in sight. But wait, there's more. The pelvic pain scores? Well, let's just say they took a nosedive right from the get-go. And by month 2, the number of soldiers hobbling around with moderate to severe disability dropped from a whopping 83.3% to a much more manageable 33.3%. Despite these epic wins, the researchers weren't ready to hang up their needles just yet. They knew they needed a bigger battleground to truly test acupuncture's mettle against the tried and true pharmacotherapy. So they rallied for a larger scale investigation because when it comes to battling endometriosis, every soldier counts. And who knows, maybe in the next round, acupuncture will emerge as an ultimate weapon against the forces of pain and disability. Stay tuned, folks. The battle continues. Speaking of battles, in this next research study titled A Large Scale Analysis of Gut Microbiota and Endometriosis-Associated Infertility, a Mendelian Randomization Study. Now, in this study, they have a lot of large words, so bear with me because I'm not a scientist. I'm merely a podcaster. Have you ever stopped to think about the bustling metropolis inside your gut? Well, it turns out that this gut microbiota party might have more influence over our bodies than we previously had thought, especially when it comes to conditions like endometriosis-associated infertility. Researchers donned their detective hats and decided to delve deep into this microbial realm using a technique called Mendelian randomization, or MR. Think of it as a Sherlock Holmes meets genetics, where they're trying to suss out the culprits behind the infertility mystery. So what did they find in this microbial whodunit? Drumroll, please! It turns out that actinomyces, a bacteria lurking in the gut, might be the villain in this story, upping the risk of fertility woes for those battling endometriosis. On the flip side, we've got the heroes of the tale, Holdmania and Rumocacacia, and we're going to call them Hold and Ramon. Doesn't that sound like a crime-fighting duo? These friendly bacteria seem to be waving their microbial capes, swooping in to protect against the dreaded infertility curse. But wait, don't go chucking your yogurt stash just yet. This study is like peeling back layers of an onion, minus the tears, hopefully. The researchers remind us that the relationship between gut microbes and endometriosis-related infertility is as complex as solving a Rubik's Cube blindfolded. So while actinomyces might be causing mischief, Hold and Ramon are playing a hero too. There's still a lot we don't know. It's like trying to navigate a maze blindfolded with spaghetti in hand, a real tangled mess. However, fear not, this study isn't just another brain teaser. It's a beacon of hope. By shining a light on the murky world of gut microbes and infertility, it sets the stage for future research. Who knows? Maybe one day we'll have probiotics specifically tailored to combat endometriosis-related infertility. Until then, let's raise a toast to the brave researchers who bravely venture into the microbial unknown, one gut bacterium at a time. Cheers to solving the ultimate gut microbiota mystery. Now, what this article is not saying is that endometriosis is caused by bacteria. It's just looking at the relationship between bacteria and infertility related to endometriosis. Because gut issues are so fun to talk about because they often affect so many of us, let's continue with our next article. The title of this article is Endometriosis is Associated with Higher Healthcare Utilization in Upper Gastrointestinal Symptoms. So here's the thing. You've got your typical gastroenterology clinic, right? People coming in with all sorts of tummy troubles, from mysterious aches to some pretty serious stuff like Crohn's disease. Now imagine another group sneaking into the mix, people with endometriosis. It's like throwing a curveball into the game of guess that gut issue. So these sneaky endo people and their regular tummy troublers were pitted against each other in a study. They found out that the endo crew, bless their hearts, were more likely to have all sorts of abdominal drama. Pain in places you didn't even know could hurt. Bloating like they've swallowed beach balls and enough nausea to make a sailor seasick. Meanwhile, the GI group was all about the Crohn's disease and shedding pounds faster than a cat shedding fur in the summer. But here's the thing, these sneaky endo symptoms were masquerading as upper GI issues. It's like trying to figure out if it's a pizza craving or just plain old hunger. So the study was all about waving a flag saying, hey docs, don't forget to check for endometriosis when someone's gut's acting up. It's like reminding your forgetful friend to grab their keys before they leave the house, except in this case, the keys are a diagnosis that could change everything. So next time your tummy's feeling a little like a roller coaster ride, remember, it might not just be your last meal causing all the ruckus, it could be a sneaky case of endometriosis playing hide and seek in your gut. And hey, finding it might just be the key to solving the mystery of your wonky digestion. An article that's not going to keep us guessing and takes us away from all the gut issues is this next article out of Canada titled Outcomes After Surgery in an Interdisciplinary Center of Expertise for Endometriosis and Pelvic Pain in Canada, a prospective cohort study. It's all about how surgery as part of a comprehensive approach to treating endometriosis can really make a difference in a patient's quality of life. Basically, they looked at data from patients who underwent surgery at a specialized center for endometriosis and pelvic pain. What they found was pretty validating. No matter the stage of disease or the age of the patient, surgery led to a significant improvement in pain-related quality of life. So they're talking about all sorts of surgeries, from conservative procedures to hysterectomies. And get this, even patients with advanced stage endometriosis saw improvements. It's like a win-win situation for everyone involved. The study basically tells us that if you're dealing with endometriosis and pelvic pain, surgery done at a specialized center where different experts collaborate can really change the game for you. It's not just about getting rid of the pain temporarily, it's about improving your quality of life in the long run. And who wouldn't want that, right? So, kudos to the research team for shedding light on this important aspect of endometriosis treatment. It's exciting to see how interdisciplinary approaches can make such a difference in healthcare. Our last two articles further highlight the need to find an informed and knowledgeable provider. There was a recent article published named Hormone Medication Could Increase Risk of Brain Tumors, French Study Finds, and it has some people talking. They found a potential link between hormone medications and an increased risk of brain tumors. Now, before you panic and toss out your pill pack, let's dive into the details. First off, let's talk about progestins. They're kind of like a synthetic version of progesterone, a hormone your body naturally produces. These little guys are used in all sorts of things, from birth control to managing gynecological issues like endometriosis and polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS, or even to help folks manage menopause symptoms. Now back to the study. What they found was that folks taking hormone meds containing progestins might have a slight higher chance of developing brain tumors. Most of these tumors were actually benign, meaning they're more of a nuisance than a life-threatening situation. So, what's the bottom line here? Well, it's always good to stay informed about meds you're taking and their potential risks, but don't go tossing out your pills just yet. If you're concerned, it's best to have a chat with your provider. Staying informed can help you and your provider find what's best for you. This last study is further proof that endometriosis affects your whole body. This research titled Correlation Between Endometriosis and Migraine Features results from a prospective case control study. A group of researchers decided to dive into the connection between two very common yet painful conditions, endometriosis and migraines. They wanted to see if there was any link between the features of migraines and the types of endometriosis someone might have. They did a small study where they looked at a bunch of people with both conditions to see what they could find. Now, what they uncovered was pretty interesting. They noticed that folks with migraines often had severe adenomyosis and deep infiltrating endometriosis, or DIE, which basically means the endometriosis is spreading pretty deep within the tissue. This discovery led them to think that there might be something more going on between the two conditions. But here's where it gets even more intriguing. They found out that for many people, migraines and painful periods started way back in the teenage years, long before they even knew they had endometriosis. It's like these symptoms were hanging out under their radar, not getting the attention they needed. What's concerning is that these symptoms are flying under the radar for so long, they weren't getting treated properly. This delay in getting the right treatment might have led to even more pain and discomfort for those with both conditions. So, the researchers stress the importance of spotting these signs earlier and making sure people get the help they need sooner rather than later. In the end, this study shed some light on the link between migraines and endometriosis, showing that they often go hand in hand. It's like they're two puzzle pieces that fit together perfectly, but when left unnoticed, they can cause a lot of trouble. The takeaway? Early detection and better management could make a world of difference for those dealing with endometriosis and migraines. Thank you so much for joining me this week. And as we continue in the month of April, it is Adenomyosis Awareness Month. So make sure that you follow for more information, because the more you know and the more knowledge you have, the better informed you are in your care and the more you can advocate for you and for others. So until next time, continue advocating for you and for those that you love.